Hello and welcome to episode number 48 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is July 17th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both at McFlugel.com. Show notes page for this episode, as it is always, is McFlugel.com/48. And I'll pass it right over to Slappy to introduce our topic for this episode.
Thank you, Rollo, and thanks everyone for joining us tonight. Our last two episodes were longer than normal. We did a Bitcoin episode, which I really highly recommend you check out. It was excellent. We had a guest on, and I did a very good job. Today's going to be a little shorter, but it's an important one because we, as libertarians, are often accused of being racist. Shocker. Ron Paul got killed for this when he was running for president, but it has to do with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Anyone who really follows politics knows that Ron Paul, he would go on these MSNBC type shows, Chris Matthews and Fox News, really wherever he went, he would get criticized for saying he's against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a federal law passed in 1964 that outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It prohibited unequal application of voter registration requirements, racial segregation in schools, unemployment, and public accommodations. So, Rollo, we're libertarians. We would have voted against that, I presume, if we were in Congress. What do you think? What do you have to say to that? Have you been accused of it? And how do you reply?
Wait, you mean you're not racist?
Me, no.
Oh, oops.
I'm just libertarian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course I've been accused of that. And of course Slappy Jones is not racist. You didn't get that joke. But yeah, well, one thing I'd like to point out right away, specifically about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, is that we get criticized for saying that we're against it. But look at the people who passed it, what they were saying. Lyndon Johnson, who was the president at the time and who pushed it really hard, upon passing the Civil Rights Act, he said, "I'll have these N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years." And he didn't censor himself like I just did right there. So I know people like to say, oh, it was the, you know, kind of the way of the times. That's the way people were. Okay.
Don't make any excuse. I mean, the guy.
Right. And it is kind of, they use that excuse for only one side, not the other. But even if that was kind of the thought of the time, it's kind of racist. So,
right.
I mean, I don't trust that he really had.
He didn't say it's about time these N-words can finally vote, or, you know, right. I mean, they could vote before, but, you know, desegregated schools or whatever.
Yeah, it was just a strictly, you know, power grab. And so he was more concerned about how it benefited him than it was benefiting anybody else. So I think that is an important thing to look at, is what the intentions were of the people who were drafting and passing the bill. And that's in two ways. I mean, I say that, and then I know 2 minutes now, I'm going to say you can't judge it by the intention. So it's important to distinguish between those intentions. And it's, I know people might be saying, oh, well, what is it? Just believe the opposite of what everyone says. It's not quite like that. When someone says something like LBJ said like that, that's pretty clear what he's trying to do. He doesn't care about, the minorities or black people or anything.
No, but really, I mean, you, I would assume, and I don't want to speak for you, are not in favor of businesses not allowing someone in because they're black or Chinese or gay or whatever, or from another country.
Right.
So if you're not against that, what's the problem? You think it's wrong. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. But I'm going to say you think it would be wrong to do that, to put a sign on your store that says no blacks allowed, or at least be uncomfortable with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. I do think it's wrong to be a bigot.
So then what's the problem? Why would you be against this law? Does it have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems pretty obvious. Everyone should be in favor of this. So why would you have voted against it or been against it?
Two reasons. One is because even though I have personal moral convictions against it, I don't believe I have the right to force other people into sharing those convictions of mine. you know, there's no violence associated with not allowing someone onto your property, even if their reasons are bad. And two, I think there's better ways of handling the problem than by making it just illegal. Much better ways of handling it. I actually think that passing laws like the Civil Rights Act do more harm than good. The big reason I give why I'm against anti-discrimination laws is because if someone has bigoted views against me, I don't want to unwittingly give that person my money and business. Why in the world would that be a good thing? Oh, this guy hates my guts because of the color of my skin. But isn't it great that I get to give him my money?
Yeah, wouldn't you rather expose the guy?
Exactly.
So, and that's another thing you'll hear often. Well, you know, before this law was passed in the 1950s and 40s, our schools were segregated and black people couldn't ride the bus or had to sit in the back. There were stores that on the front would say no blacks allowed. Well, people saw that. There's pictures of it. You can go Google it and find it yourself. Why wouldn't that happen today?
I think the culture's changed a lot. We were briefly talking about before we started recording, but there's, you know, pizza shops in the Midwest that they won't serve a gay wedding reception.
Which one note on that? Was a total setup by that news company because who uses a pizza shop for their wedding anyway?
I know.
But I digress.
Hypothetical. If someone were, they'd be like, oh, I guess. And that, you know, there's huge backlashes against them. So for something as silly as that, the huge backlash against them for something that isn't even relevant. Can you imagine?
In a small town in the Midwest.
Right. Can you imagine if in, I don't know, Philadelphia, because that's the city closest to us, if someone opened up a shop and said, we don't serve black people here?
Be out of business in 2 days.
Like, it's completely absurd to think anything else.
Yeah, there's no...
Because people don't tolerate that kind of stuff anymore. And I know you'll be able to find, you know, one or two people on the internet somewhere saying that, you know, they hate whoever and they applaud that. But there's a reason why you can normally only find those people on the internet. Because there's not many of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, finish. You go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing I think is, I'm kind of switching gears a little bit, but still staying on the Civil Rights Act. I believe that overturned a lot of the Jim Crow laws, like the school segregation.
That was the private industry and all private businesses that made the Jim Crow laws, right?
So of course we would be against repealing those laws. But I think it's interesting, too, that they even had Jim Crow laws, right? So what is the point of a law segregating the schools? My guess, and this is I guess it's a theory, I guess, you know, I haven't read this anywhere, I looked it up, but you have as is typical with government, they're always behind society, and there's usually old people running it. And so you have these old guys in Congress or in local legislators, and, you know, these younger people are more likely to hang out with people from another race, and they don't like it, and they see it happening, and so they have to stop it because the market is mixing the races. So the government has to step in and say, we don't like that. We're going to segregate them. We're going to make it a law that black people can't go to that school. Why would you need the law if it was already happening?
Right.
So if the market was already creating this racist society where blacks and whites, and now I know you're going to go back and you can find several examples. I get that. And I understand that. And I know it was a very serious issue, but if people weren't already coming together, there would have been no need for the law because people were already self-segregating. And I'm not saying it was, you know, perfect harmony and everyone got along until the government came in and broke it up. Of course there was plenty of racists around. I have no problem believing that. I wasn't alive. But what I'm trying to say is that government is always behind society, and they are by definition, because when something changes, it starts out slow and spreads, and it doesn't get up to our government, which is, you know, democratic republic. You have to vote people in. So you need a majority of votes to get people in. So things don't change in government until it's already changed in society.
Right. And even on top of that, there's just kind of pure economic incentives to not discriminate based on being a bigot. Even if society didn't outright reject racists and bigots having stores and they wouldn't get shut down because there'd just be such a huge backlash. You're limiting on both sides of it. You're limiting
you're cutting
your
out
options.
A lot of your market, absolutely. And I'm in sales. It's very competitive.
Right.
I can't even imagine any sales guys I know ever turning down a sale because of the color of a guy's skin. I just can't see that happening. You work hard to sell your product.
Right. So I'll pick a market at random to talk about. You know, this is an example. Let's say buying and selling tractors.
Sure.
Totally random.
Yeah.
And let's say I'm in the market to buy a tractor and I live in a predominantly black area. And so most of the people selling tractors are black, but I hate black people. And so I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy a tractor from a black person. So let me
wait. I just wanted you to slow down. You know, people are going to cut that little, what you just said there.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, they can slice and dice. That's the first thing that they can slice and dice to make me look bad. Then
yeah,
I haven't been doing a good job yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry
to cut you off. Continue with your tractor.
That's fine. You're trying to get me to knock me off the tractor topic.
Exactly.
Because you're a tractorist or something.
Yeah, I'm a tractorist.
So let's say, okay, so I say that I don't want to buy any tractors from black people because I don't like that. I just want to buy from a white person. Now let's say there's five people selling tractors. Three of them are black people. Two of them are white people. What benefit is there other than getting the personal satisfaction of, you know, buying from the person whose skin color? Like, if I continue to do that in all my business dealings, I'm not going to be successful because there's people that just aren't going to care or understand that, you know, they don't want to limit the supplies and demands. So they're going to outpace me. Unless it just happens to be that I make all of the, you know, quote unquote, economically correct or best decisions, but that's purely on luck. And I think the likelihood of that happening is pretty low. So, and also if it becomes known that, you know, I have a certain, I only want to buy tractors from white people, well, then they could probably start raising their prices on me.
True.
So I'm not going to be in the tractor business very long. You know, people who have, you know, unbigoted views or don't let their, even if they don't let their bigoted views get in the way of their dealings, then they'll do better. And and it's that interaction with, and I think too, that even if you do have, a lot of times being a bigot is just because your lack of understanding or, you know, you're not used to something. I know my grandmother said when she was a young girl, when they would see a black person, they got scared because it was just, they never saw them ever. So it was a really weird thing for them. And then once she, you know, started seeing more of them and got used to it and it's like, oh wait, they're people too.
They're actually human beings.
Oh, right. And so it didn't matter. That? Yeah. Believe it or not.
But that's what the market does. And as the market gets more competitive and more competition comes in, you have to, you have less, you know, you can't discriminate as much if you want to stay in business. And so we can look back ancient history, you know, 80 years ago, 60 years ago, it's probably longer than that. I don't know. It was possible. We didn't have the internet. You could have some small town in the middle of nowhere and there's a very small minority of black people there and maybe the town just doesn't like them and doesn't and just marginalizes them and it's just brutal to them. That was possible. That was much more likely to happen back then than it would be today because now those people can go on the internet and buy something and it doesn't matter and nobody cares. No internet sales guy cares what color. Nobody does. They'll sell to anyone who wants to buy and it's the same with stores. And so if you had this town with a bunch of racist people, this is even kind of funny to talk about because I can't imagine this happening today. There'd be a significant number of white people who wouldn't shop there. I wouldn't be comfortable going to a place like that. And I'm sure you wouldn't. Most people wouldn't.
Exactly.
But now there's so many options. We don't have, we're not relying on the local whatever store necessarily. There's all kinds of alternative options that the market has brought. And by doing that, it forces other businesses, them to be competitive with their pricing and attract more business. And if you want to cut out a certain segment of the society, well, you're not going to be around long because people will just go elsewhere.
Right.
So do you have anything to add? Do you want to summarize?
No, I mean, there's just remember there's, you know, a million avenues for solving problems. And when the state does it, it's normally not a good way. And even for employment, if there's a town that doesn't, you know, is racist and bigoted, and they don't like black people, well, you know, that lowers the demand that, you know, a black person might be able to charge for his services, for his labor, which means that he becomes more attractive for other businesses. So there's, it doesn't mean that he can't be employed. It means he has to lower his selling price for his labor, but that he'll get employed, and you know, it creates that opportunity for the unbigoted business because they have more room for growth and margins since they're paying less for labor. So it'll eventually even itself out because they'll get more market power. Presumably, we'll start paying their people more. So
you mentioned it earlier. It's a property rights issue,
right?
And can't, you know, it's not right to tell someone what to do with their property. If they do bad things with their property, or what most people consider bad, they're going to be shunned from society.
And it's pretty pretty lame to just kind of rely on the state to fix those kinds of problems. If you see things that you think are morally wrong going on, and you just say, well, there should be a law. To me, that's just pretty pathetic, and you have really no moral spine or backbone. I'm not saying that you got to go and fight someone or, you know, organize a huge rally or everything, but you know what? If you feel like someone's not behaving well, just don't give them your business.
Yeah, well, there was
a very powerful thing.
It was a couple months ago, and this is just an example of how this happens. We talked about the pizza shop in the Midwest and these bakeries who don't do gay weddings. They get a ton of bad press for it. There was a guy outside of Philadelphia. I'm guessing he was a little drunk, but he owned a tree cutting company, and they got it on the security camera. There was a guy, I think he had cerebral palsy or something, and he's making, this is like insane to see today, by the way, and you can probably Google it and find it. He's making fun of the way the guy's walking, and he turns around and just punches him in the mouth. The guy gets in his car, drives away. But that was all over the news, and that guy went out of business. Yeah. It was all over. Yeah, I mean, if you could check out his Yelp, it's whatever the lowest is, one star or less than one star. I don't know what it is. And there's all kinds of comments. Nobody wants to do business with him. And that's one of the powers of the market.
Also, no one wants to be the person that does business with him.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one wants to do business with him because they're appalled by what he did. But then, can you imagine being the person like, oh yeah, I'm going to walk into that store and go shopping.
Yeah. Right.
There. You would also be associated.
Right. No,
probably rightly so, with being a cerebral palsy puncher.
And so I think we should look at how we have progressed as a society and how society has changed. And there's a lot of good in there. That's not, you know, we probably don't think everything is good that's changing, but a lot of it is. And certainly the way we treat others. It's definitely, I think it would be hard to say we've regressed since the 1940s.
Absolutely.
So, do you have any more to add? We tried to keep it quick today.
No, I have nothing more to add on that. Chop my little Rollo buying the tractor person, you know, thing up all you want. And
yeah, there'll be memes of that.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. So do you have a free market success story for this week?
I don't have one for this week. Do you?
I do, actually. It happened to me tonight.
Okay.
So I was cooking dinner and there's a thunderstorm coming. The power went out. I was actually cooking a steak on the stove, and fortunately I have gas. So it didn't.
Fortunately for who?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I live alone, so.
Okay.
I would be the only one suffering from that gas. No, but I have propane that my stove uses. So that, you know, stayed lit and I continued to cook. But it was kind of, the thunderstorm came, so all the clouds were there and it got really dark, so it was tough to see. But I had my cell phone in my hand and just with one or two swipes had a flashlight going. Back in the day, you know.
You don't even have to say back in the day. You can talk about cell phones probably 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago.
Right.
I remember that was kind of a cool, people used to use the flash on their camera and turn it on. Then you could download an app to keep your light on. Now it's standard on every smartphone.
Yep. And I remember before, you know, even with cell phones, you had to go find flashlights and everything.
Yeah, there'd be one somewhere in the house or multiple ones on multiple rooms in case the electricity ever did go out.
Right, and hopefully there's batteries in it. Hopefully the batteries haven't exploded or leaked. Hopefully you can find the batteries or you're looking at candles and everything. But it was just, you know, super convenient. Something that you don't even think about as an issue being like, what happens if I need a flat? Like, you don't even have to think about this stuff anymore. It's right at your fingertips.
It's literally in your pocket.
Right in your pocket at all times. If you need to get a flashlight, make a phone call, you know, look something up on the internet, it's absurd. And that's not something that happens through central planning. No central authority said, you know what? Everyone needs a flashlight on themselves at all times.
Right. We wouldn't have needed a fix for it because we all had them in multiple rooms in our house.
Right. And if the government decided that right now everyone needed a flashlight, we'd probably all be carrying something the size of a mag light around.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my little free market success story.
Good one.
Something little, but you know, important to appreciate the little things that happen.
Absolutely.
It's pretty incredible. It went from, because normally when the power goes out, it's a little bit frustrating. You got to, you know, you're scrambling around a little bit, but I got a little chuckle out of it. So.
Yeah. So with that, let's do one quick little summary.
Sure.
In that, it's not that we think, in case those of you listening didn't listen to the whole thing or just saw the title and want to comment, it's not that we think not discriminating against people based on race, sex, color, religion is a bad thing. It's that it's a violation of property rights, and we think it would have been better handled without government getting involved. For what I was saying earlier, government doesn't make these changes until society has changed anyway, or is at least started on the way to changing. So by 1964, a significant portion of the population was already doing this or in favor of it. Otherwise, it never would have passed in government. And by forcing it on people, just like forcing segregation, but then forcing people to associate with each other, usually has bad results. It just has to happen. So we'd probably be a lot better off without it. If it went away, if it was repealed, it's not like tomorrow we would see signs saying no blacks allowed. it wouldn't happen. It just could not happen in today's age. We have progressed. We should respect property rights. And I think that's all I have to say.
Sounds good to me. I think we covered decent points.
Yeah.
If you have any questions on it, you know, feel free to drop us a comment. So head to the show notes page, mcflugel.com/48, where you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Like us on Facebook, follow both of us on Twitter, and sign up for our email newsletter.
And tell your friends.
Absolutely.
Cool. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
Peace.